Recording in progress.
I believe we are ready, Commissioner. Apologize.
No, thank you. Let me go ahead and make that announcement once again and apologize for the technical difficulties that we had just a moment ago. So, as I was mentioning, this board has two items for public hearing. So, at 10 a.m., we will promptly suspend this meeting and go into the public hearing. So, having said that, we're going to go into now the reading of correspondence. Commissioner Committee Reports, Commissioner Tony Haas.
Thank you. On September 27th, I attended the health board meeting. I'm just going to hit on a few of the highlights because we have a board member that sits on that board. So, Aparna Michaela, working for the new public accounting firm, will be helping with Huerfano Health Clinic campuses. And she suspects it'll take about 18 months to get that into fruition there at Huerfano County. West Nile was located in Huerfano County. They had to euthanize a horse. They got it. We also have a West Nile case here in Los Animas County, human case. Montezuma and Larimer counties have the plague, and it was refreshing to hear that COVID's no longer a pandemic. It's an endemic, which means it's more like a common cold or flu. On the 28th, the CCI held their monthly check-in with the Colorado Department of Ag. And there are several items that they touched on. CSU is doing a study on agrivoltaic agriculture, renewable energy. So land in use for solar, they're actually going to be able to graze or farm underneath the solar energy generation. And that's an experiment that's going on right now, and it looks like it's going to be productive. And on October 9th, Kate Greenberg had stated that they attended a wild horse working group, and that they would be leaving, I believe it was Thursday last week, the Ag Coalition that they had started to go to the United Kingdom to streamline trade and commerce with, and Representative McCormick went along. And she was asked if the shutdown was going to affect the Colorado Department of Ag, and she said they have money in reserves to get through the shutdown, and it shouldn't affect anything except any kind of programs that have any federal monies that might slow that process down, getting that money dispersed. We talked about the Farm Bill program. We're going to continue on with the Farm Bill that we have now through this year. And we talked about the wolf reintroduction, and there is going to be a 10J rule. It will be in effect, which will allow us to use whatever means that are deemed necessary at the time there's depredation occurring. Also, they talked about the noxious weed control that's been a mandate that's been put down on our counties. And my question to them is there any state funding that would be available to help us with that? They said there was 100,000 was all that was in this grant that was available. And that won't go very far, so it may be up to us to reach out to JBC at the Capitol and the Joint Budget Committee, and maybe they could allocate some more monies for that noxious weed control. On the 29th, CCI hosted a CCI land use bill. The Home Builders Association was there to give a presentation. They talked about multiple class action lawsuits that are going on right now due to construction defects and liability and delegable duties. The party that built is liable, is what they're pushing for. Housing Colorado also did a presentation, and it was on overcoming barriers to affordable housing. DOLA was there, a representative, and gave an update on the Innovative Housing Strategies Grant Program created by HB 22-1271. $37.7 million to be awarded to local governments, and there's a planning grant program which has $6.8 million to award also. I'm going to skip back here on the 26th of September. The Environmental Impact Assistance Fund Committee and DOLA reps met. I sit on that board, and one of the central themes was to qualify for grants. That emerged from the meeting was the importance of regional collaboration and planning in addressing housing challenges effectively, such as regional planning where regions' housing, transit, and infrastructure and water needs are considered. A reoccurring theme emphasized the housing strategy that catered to the diverse range of residents. Also, they introduced the notion that greenfield development might be more affordable initially due to lower infrastructure costs and what the long-term economic implications might be. Rick Garcia, who's been the director of DOLA, also announced his resignation. And then on the 29th, CCI hosted a work session regarding Proposition HH. CCI invited Senator Steve Fenberg and Representative Rose Pugliese to join in the conversation. Senator Fenberg is a proponent and Representative Pugliese is an opponent. The robust conversation ensued, and just a little background on Proposition HH. It will reduce property taxes and retain state revenue, and is the outcome of Senate Bill 23-303, and if passed, will lower property taxes owed, allow the state to keep additional money that would otherwise be refunded to taxpayers, temporarily changes how taxpayer TABOR refunds are redistributed, and creates new property tax limits for most local governments. Senator Fenberg stated, if the economy performed strongly, the measure would take billions of dollars from TABOR to grow funding for schools. The opponent, Representative Pugliese, rebutted, stating that that funding schools wasn't the lead purpose of the proposition. This bill is about removing local control and replacing with state control. It has nothing to do with the taxpayer. This would allow the state to loosen TABOR's fiscal restraint and grow the state budget. Fenberg then stated HH would allow counties that saw less than 20% growth to receive TABOR backfill. Commissioner responses to that comment included, it's my understanding that only two counties in the state saw less than 20% growth last year, Phillips and Baca County. Why is the state determining that 20% is the cap of the growth, and how did the state arrive at that percentage? This means the state will haul in $2.2 billion in 10 years. Representative Pugliese concluded, stating this tax relief won't begin to offset the rising of tax bills. They will continue to soar. HH isn't needed. Senate Bill 108 that was recently passed already allows for counties to lower mill levies and property taxes if they see fit. And that concludes my report, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Haas. Commissioner Lopez.
Thank you, and Commissioner Hassey, on the Proposition HH. We're already seeing in our budgets, which we'll be discussing today, the decline in revenue to the county if this passes, and possibly services to our citizens, which is not a good thing with that revenue gone. Just add on to that. On September 19th, right after our board meeting, I had to leave early from here to attend the Front Range Passenger Rail meeting at the Department of Transportation in Pueblo, and with Governor Polis. We were able to meet with the board members of Front Range Rail. Members across the country were there to see the new technology for high-speed rail. From the Department of Transportation and TSA, from all over the country. And it was a wonderful afternoon. Didn't get home till, I think, about 9 o'clock that night. But the technology on this new train is going to be amazing. We were on the platform while it rolled up, and you could even talk to one another. There was no noise, no background noise. It wasn't a diesel engine. Hydrogen-powered is what's going to be the new technology, and I believe the train is off to San Francisco now for testing out there. Probably going to be 15 to 20 years before we see the infrastructure in the state of Colorado to allow this type of train, but the Front Range Passenger Rail is anticipating 10 to 20 years for this train to come to fruition from Wyoming border to New Mexico. So I'm excited to be part of this organization to seeing the next steps. As I mentioned in past meetings, the Burlington Northern Rail is working with the Front Range Rail in possibly coexisting on the freight line from Trinidad to Pueblo. And if someone's online that's not muted, would you please mute? We're hearing some distortion or some sound. So that was a wonderful afternoon. I did get to visit with the governor quite a bit with it, and also with his chief of staff regarding some issues we have with our solar moving in the future, and hopefully those conversations are happening now with Mr. Dorenkamp and the climate organization with governor's office and energy. We'll be looking at putting a solar array to offset our increased power consumption that's going to be used from stage 3 of our courthouse upfitting with new heating and air conditioning next year. So we're trying to offset that, and hopefully we're going to get some headway with that. Also with our power provider in the city of Trinidad to reduce our carbon footprint. So I'm proud of that conversation and the wheels moving in that fashion. On the 22nd, that following Friday, the Front Range Passenger Rail did meet again for a summation of the meetings that we did in person with the train testing. And it was just business as usual moving forward with the board. So nothing too exciting on that. On the 27th, as Commissioner Haas mentioned, we did have a Board of Health meeting. I'm very excited with this organization as well. We have a green light with the Huerfano County Commissioners to move forward with a new facility for the Huerfano County residents, since we are a bi-county health department, Los Angeles Huerfano County. And the start of the proposals for a new building. So we're just the beginning stages, but we do have the green light. The property is going to be obtained. And we met with Arpena Michaela with Codemrenzic LLP. And they're going to be starting on all of the document work and the loans and the forgiveness and all of the USDA and everybody. We can use some stackable funding mechanisms to move forward with a new building facility for them. Also, we probably need to look at our building here in Los Angeles County, Mr. Dorenkamp, for the recent hailstorms, and see if we can't make sure that we don't have any hail damage on that facility. I don't know if that's occurred or not yet, but that was mentioned in that meeting afterwards. As Commissioner Haas alluded to, we do have the West Nile in the state of Colorado, and there's been one death in the state. The county has been spraying all summer, the health department in the county, not in the city. The city chose not to do so this year, and we have no West Nile deaths in Los Alamos County, thank goodness. And also the other plague that is rampant in the state of Colorado in the two locations now. So if you have none and now you've got two, it's a 20% increase, according to the statistics in the CDPAG. On September 28th, the Council of the Government board members came together. We had our meeting there and would like to inform the community that we have an interim executive director at this time, and we will be looking for a permanent executive director with the Council of the Governments. That position has been changed, and was the former director resigned and has moved on. Brian Blasey is the interim director at this time and will be soliciting for applicants moving forward. Also with the Council of the Governments, the Polk Building in Huerfano County as well, the Senior Center is moving forward with the bids and the construction phase. There's some logistics that need to be done, some legalities that are in the final stages with that organization. but hopefully we'll have that coming to fruition soon as well. So a lot of good things going on for Huerfano County between these two organizations, from the Board of Health and from Council of Governments, that are long overdue. I actually toured the facilities of the health department, and I was in awe. We walked back into a 50-year-old building, and I don't know if any of you are from Walsenburg, but that health department building is, I really hate to, I couldn't believe what I walked into. It's really an old, old building that's maybe the size of our two offices, Tony, back here, and then a little bit more. It's just very, very small for the services, especially experiencing the COVID pandemic that we went through, and I don't know how they kept up with that tiny facility there during that entire time. So kudos out to the health department employees, our director, Kim Gonzalez, and all of our staff in Huerfano County for doing that. And that is the end of my report, Chairman.
Thank you so much. Highlighting some of the points, I pretty much attended quite a same meetings. I want to highlight just a tad on the Proposition HH. If the passage of this particular referendum that's going to be on the ballot, Los Animas County would lose in excess of $500,000. And that only tells you what services we would have to adjust and perhaps not fund 100%. So do a lot of research, asking all of you out there to go read the pro and the con of Proposition HH. And one of the estimates that has been out by several of the independent studies that we have out there, that this is going to be a 10-year asset that will be basically given the state legislature about $10 billion to play with. $10 billion of your money, which is now being refunded through a taxpayer bill of rights, which since 1992, that passage of that proposition has been in place. So at the end of the day, we're voting for reducing property taxes, but you're trading that in for your hard-earned, that's your money that doesn't belong to the state. And so that money they'll keep in exchange of lowering on your property taxes. I thought that was very important to put out there. On the 27th, I had a meeting with Southern Colorado Opioid Committee, and one of the things that we're going to be awarding is harm reduction dollars for the nine counties that are within the region. The opioid pandemic is real. The opioid pandemic is creating so much havoc. And one of the things that we continue to hear is mental health. So we're hoping to put these dollars in areas that our counties are going to be benefiting from these services. And of course, it's going to be pretty challenging for us to have services at each one of the counties, but we are doing the best that we know how to distribute those dollars and provide the services that are so much needed in this part of Colorado. As Commissioner Tony has mentioned, on the 29th, the one of the meetings that was of most interest to me and to all of us was through Colorado Counties Incorporated, was the land use and the housing meeting. What was attempted to happen in the last legislative session is basically to take as much authority from counties when it comes to permitting and regulating housing developments, and also permitting of any type of a land use within the counties. And as we, in a sense, were able to defeat that piece of legislation. But now what we're hearing is the same bill, it was all in one bill introduced on the very last week of the legislative session, and now what we're hearing is the same legislation is going to be presented in 2024, perhaps in could be up to five or more bills. So we're going to be creating a committee at the statewide level to begin to work with the groups and be ready for testimony and be ready for what is happening at the state legislature. And one thing that we would like to prevent is that this local control belongs to your county. It belongs right here on your backyard. And it is a responsibility to basically oppose those measures, because what is good for Denver is not good for Los Animas County. What's good for Boulder is not good for Huerfano County. They cannot create one size fits all for all of us here. And certainly we would have to now manage housing developments, permitting of land use, and so on, with the scripted mandates from Denver. And that's one thing that, as your elected officials, we will continue to push back. And so that's pretty much I'm going to cover on my report. And so now we're going to go to elected officials update. I have a message from Assessor Amaro, and she does not have anything to report, nor does Sheriff Navarrete. Let me go to, do we have anyone from the Clerk and Recorder's Office? Anyone from the Treasurer's Office?
Good morning. This is Donna. I have nothing to report at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning. Anyone from the District Attorney? Do we have anyone from the Coroner's Office? Thank you so much. And so now we're going to go to the next section. We have a presentation by Mr. David Detray, Trinidad Ambulance District Update. And so, sir, please join us. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
The light turn on?
Looks like we're on now.
Thank you, Commissioners. As we talked, we wanted to try to come at least quarterly to give you an update of how we're doing as a district and how we're moving forward. So happy to report at this time we're fully staffed, which is better than most across EMS and emergency services. We are moving forward with changing from a special district to a health service district. This will bring a lot more services that we can offer as far as community paramedicine. Something you hit on earlier was mental health. That gives us an opportunity and a actual funding stream to do that community paramedicine. So we are moving forward with that. We have a needs assessment that will start next week. We have contracted with one of our other districts in the state up around Teller County and Woodland Park to come down and do our needs assessment. So we're excited about that. We have finally, after 4 years, started the demolition phase on our new building. That is actually right now at least a week ahead of schedule. So that's good. One of the things with, you know, we brought up COVID and supply chain issues, everything else. So we would hope that it was a 6-month project, and now it's looking like it's going to be longer than that just due to time frames and things that are out, multiple weeks to get ordered, garage doors, power boxes, those type of things. We have Chief Moreno and I have talked, and we didn't really have any place for employees to go once they got to the paramedic level. So we have EMTs, advanced EMTs, and paramedics. And there was no kind of movement to go up the chain. So what we've done is we've promoted three shift supervisors that are on the cars that will kind of help and take a little bit of stuff away from Chief Moreno and myself so we can do some of the other stuff that we need to be doing. So we have promoted Darren Polakowski, Angelina Bacharach, and John Velasquez as our operations supervisors. The other thing is that's on our plate and definitely in our sights is, and what you're talking about and mentioned multiple times, is the state taking more control against away from local government. One of the things is they're going to be, they're starting that state licensing for ambulances. So we are engaged with that. Our physician advisor, medical director, Dr. DeWall, is also at all the state meetings and a huge proponent for us. And we'll be working that and continue to stay engaged in that so that we have a voice. So other than that, that's all I have for an update. I'd be happy to answer any questions you all have.
I do. Thank you, Chief, for being here for the update. And
I'm glad to see that building come to fruition because I don't live too far from Renew facility if I need Trinidad Ambulance District. So, but a question I do have on a serious note on the transferring from an ambulance district to a health service district, mm-hmm. I believe, and don't quote me, there might be some either legal or technical support or resolution of some sort that needs to come before the Board of County Commissioners. So please have your attorney, counselor, really look into that to see if you can transfer that heading or title. I don't know. I'll ask our legal counsel as well. And with the because it passed through a special district for your funding mechanism on the taxpayer on a vote. So I don't know for sure if it's 100%. I just would make sure you really look into it. And if it's if I'm speaking out of turn just for not, maybe I'm misthinking something here. But I would imagine so that you to change your heading from the funding mechanisms and all that thing that was voted by the people for a taxing district for an ambulance district, you might really want to make sure there's some other maneuvers or statutes that don't have to be looked at. So I'd really check into that to see if it doesn't have to come before the Board of County Commissioners.
So it will become in front of you all. We do have an attorney firm that has taken care of that has been very successful in that, and we have done our due diligence with that. Part of that is the needs assessment that needs to be done. And let me assure you guys, the reason we're doing this is to offer more services and better care for the community and Los Angeles County. So with that being said, we have not come up with anything. There was an issue with a potential other health service district, but that's totally something different as far as in what that health service district was actually going to do.
They still have one.
Funding. They do. Yeah,
they just never got funded.
Right. So, but what we're doing is different. Okay. So that was to help fund the hospital and the other area things like that. And we're doing something totally different.
And the reason why I remember is because my dad, and he's been gone a long time now, but I believe that was 20 years ago when they formulated that with Jesse Manzanares, I think Linda Velasquez. There was quite a few folks mm-hmm. that ran for an election, and they were elected to this Trinidad Health District, but they, on the same ballot, had no funding mechanism for it.
Right.
So so if you guys are doing your due diligence to get that through, that's all I remember there was something technical on this, so that's good to hear that you guys are doing your part.
And we did bring that up with our attorney. I believe it was two months ago, with the attorney, one of the attorneys at the firms, and did talk about that, and they felt that there was not a conflict and that we could move forward.
So one other last question I would have on that, thinking in my private business sector hat on, is that going to compete with the hospital and with Salud for services rendered to the community as well?
No, because the hospital or Salud doesn't do home visits and doesn't do mental health to the point where we can go to a scene and assess and do an actual virtual meeting with a behavioral health specialist and then get them the help that they need right then.
So you're adding services to the community that do not exist. That's great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I got to say, I'm excited for you guys and really pleased that this is happening. 20-some years ago, I was an EMT, and we operated out of the Cobb building. And that was a challenge. And to see where you guys are headed now, that's going to be great. The facility you planned for 40 years into the future, and I'm excited for this program.
Thank you. We're trying to do our due diligence and look forward to the future. As Commissioner Haas said, Commissioner Lopez and Commissioner Haas were both at our groundbreaking. And so what we've done with that facility, obviously we've outgrown the facility we're in. And what we've done is we're already building in for the future and adding more bedrooms. So if we have to, and we hope that Los Angeles County is moving upward and onward, and we have already put in place for at least one more crew, and we have space to put more. So we're looking forward to that, as you said. 40 years down the road, we built that. When we did the rural development grant, we made sure that we're building that to a size that obviously people may say, well, that's more than you need.
Well, it's more than we may need right now, but we have the expansion capabilities so that if we need to add more services, obviously with the health service district and bringing on community paramedicine, our goal is at some point, and this is going to take some time, it's taken Teller County and UPRAD probably 12 to 15 years to really get on moving with that. And now they're moving into Park County. The revenue stream with the behavioral health is really paying for that, where we're not able to make money on some of the home visits and those type of things. So that's kind of the way we're looking. When we do that, we're going to have to add staff and community paramedics that will run with the crews, but separate in separate vehicles, looking at transporting those behavioral health people to where they need to go, whether it's Springs or Pueblo or wherever, at the time that they need the services, instead of setting up an appointment or not getting in and going through more hardship and more pain. So that's our goal. It's going to take some time, but we're working towards that.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Detray. One thing that I, first of all, the state certification process, that's been a long and arduous process that we had in the last legislative years, and you're absolutely correct. We had so much opposition to basically centralizing all the certification of these services at state level simply because counties know best. You all are the, in a sense, the ones that run the businesses, provide the services, and I hope that the input that you gave on that particular process went someplace, because, you know, we just don't want to send everything to Denver. But my question is, as the opioid pandemic continues to ravage, now with fentanyl, Colorado being one of the highest overdose deaths when it comes to fentanyl, are you seeing that in Las Animas County? And then also on the behavioral side perspective, is there conversation about telehealth just in time as you pick up a patient that is actually having the trauma of A, opioid, and B, behavioral health?
So at the time right now, we are doing some telehealth. The telehealth that we're doing is more for car accidents and refusals right now, because there's a revenue stream for that. The behavioral piece will come later. Obviously, the health service district, the state license through CDPHE, those type of things all have to be in place. Now, opioid crisis, absolutely. It's here. It's absolutely here. So we work with not only Los Angeles County, but Huerfano County as well, to provide assistance for medical with their warrants and stuff. We just did some things, and it's here. It's right in our back door. Eventually, we're moving towards that. Like I said, it's going to take some time, but we all got to start somewhere. So.
Well, thank you so much for that information, and I would, you're welcome anytime. I think the public really appreciates hearing from all the public services that we have. So thank you. Thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
Look forward to the next update. Thank you.
Next, we're going to go to public comment. And we have Mrs. Elizabeth Kelly. Yes, please. Welcome. We read the information that you have, and what a worthy topic that we have in front of us today. So good morning and welcome.
Good morning. My name's Elizabeth Kelly. I'm the Regional Long-Term Care Ombudsman. So I serve both Huerfano and Las Animas counties with the AAA and the Council of Governments. And we're here today to receive your proclamation. I'm understanding that you'll read it, but I just wanted to, if I could, introduce a couple people.
Please.
So we have today, so we're doing an event this year for Residents' Rights Month, and you know, I'm always impressed when I come to these meetings and see you have so much on your plates. But it is all related, and it's all related to quality of life in our area. And we certainly have our friends and neighbors who live in long-term care facilities who maybe don't get to see sort of what you do and how you serve our community. So they kind of came here today with me to do that. But we're partnering to do an art show this year. We're going to have, it's on Friday, 1 to 3 at Trinidad Rehab. And it's been really great because we've been working with the Arts Council of Trinidad, which is Ms. Jody Alford. And she and her group have come in to Trinidad Rehab, formerly known as Trinidad Inn, to help residents create art that they're going to display in this exhibit. And I hope you can come, even if you can just stop by, that would be super. And part of that has been Ms. Priscilla Jenkins, who is the activities director at Trinidad Rehab, and she's here today. Thank you so much. And kind of the star of our show, if you will, are Ms. Barbara Grosso, who is the president of the Resident Council. So I commented to her when we sat down, I said, this is kind of like Resident Council when we come to a commissioner's meeting, because we have the same kinds of, you know, rules of order, and Ms. Barbara calls the meetings to order with her gavel, and we do discuss every month the business of the facility. So I just wanted to bring sort of that reality maybe to you just a little tiny bit this morning. So thank you, and yes, we'd love to hear the proclamation.
And your counterpart?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Jim Turner, who is our local long-term care ombudsman. So now we have two part-time ombudsmen that serve our region. So.
Well, traditionally, we won't entertain communications back and forth during public comment. However, if I may have the latitude, Chairman, as Council of Governance board member, I'm very proud of this organization, the AAA program, and being a member of this group or overseeing some of the policies and procedures that go with this, protecting our seniors. And last week at our meeting, you brought up some very alarming concerns that I have regarding some of our elderly folks feel might be intimidated at these places, possibly at times. I just want them to know that we as government members and elected officials, we're going to do our best to always make sure that our elderly are protected and feel safe. And for people like you representing them, and Jim, and all you folks that do this and taking care of our elderly at these nursing homes, thank you so much for what you do.
Well, we appreciate that. And honestly, the privilege is mine. I've been doing this for a long time. And working with residents, you know, you get to hear their stories. These are folks who many of you would know their family names, who really have created, you know, contributed so much to our community. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And we'll go into the next session. We are going to read the proclamation. So thank you, all of you, for being here. Now we're going to go into, by the way, do we have anyone else online or in the room that would like to use this section for public comment? Hearing none, we're going to go to section 8. We have no business, new business. Consideration of 2023 proclamation Residents' Rights Month. Mr. Dorenkamp, would you please read the proclamation?
National Long-Term Care Residents' Rights Month 2023 proclamation. Whereas there are 1.3 million individuals living in 15,600 nursing homes and over 800,000 individuals living in 28,900 assisted living / residential care facilities in the U.S. And whereas the Federal Nursing Home Reform Act of 1987 guarantees residents their individual rights and both promote and maintain their dignity and community. And whereas all residents should be aware of their rights so they may be empowered to live with dignity and self-determination. And whereas we wish to honor and celebrate these citizens, to recognize their rich individuality, and to reaffirm their right to vote, to participate politically, including the right to have a say in their care. And whereas individuals and groups across the country, we celebrate Residents' Rights Month with the theme Amplify our voices, emphasizing the community of long-term care residents coming together to make their voices heard. And whereas there are more than 100 individuals living in long-term care communities in Los Angeles County, now therefore let it be resolved, the Board of County Commissioners does hereby proclaim October 2023 as Los Angeles County Long-Term Care Residents' Rights Month by the Board of County Commissioners, followed by the signature.
Thank you, Mr. Dorenkamp. I'm going to with permission of my fellow commissioners, take a moment of personal privilege to really say thank you to the personnel from the nursing home. My father spent almost a couple of years. Mr. Jenkins, you were an amazing angel. I would go there daily, and I can only remember what happened in those days when he was in his last chapter of life. So thank you so much, and this is very worthy. Not only do we need to amplify the voices, we need to support these services. And commissioners, pardon me for indulging on this moment of personal privilege, but I do believe that these residents and citizens, not only are they worthy to continue living a quality of life, and my experience was that. So thank you so much, and thank you, Mr. Dorenkamp. And from that perspective, if there are no questions or comments, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to proudly approve consideration of 2023 Proclamation Residents' Rights Month.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Before we go into the next item, fellow commissioners, I was going through the process of some of the documents that we have for our public hearing this morning. There are a couple of questions that I believe might require legal counsel. So without infringing upon any other recommendations, I would like to take a moment to visit with counsel on one of the public hearing documents that we have in front of us so we can clarify a couple of questions. Unless we have any objections, I will then entertain a motion to suspend this meeting and go into executive session for the purpose of conferring with legal advice on this specific public hearing.
Move to suspend this meeting and go into executive session.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. We're not suspending the meeting. I will come back at 10 o'clock. We have that already scheduled at 10 a.m. So we will reopen that, just a couple of questions that we have. So we are going to be, thank you, counsel. Okay. We're going to be meeting under CRS 246-4024B, conferring with the county attorney for the purposes of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions. And this particular one is on a public hearing.
Chairman, to make a motion to exit executive session at this time and resume regular session.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
It is now 10 a.m. We are going to enter into Las Animas County Board of County Commissioners on this Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023, into a public hearing.
So we're calling this meeting to order. The first application that we're going to be hearing is application BR-2023-005 by Jennifer Redvin, requesting that a portion of County Road 69.4, approximately 50 feet wide and 348 feet in length, be vacated. The location is 9850 Santa Fe Trail with the legal description of Section 36, Township 33, Range 64, part of the west to northwest. Proposed vacation will not change the zoning. So after receiving legal advice, the Board of County Commissioners found that the notification that was sent out was insufficient under the state statute. So, however, the hearing will be continued, and we are planning on having this hearing on November 7th so we can do the proper notification to all the adjacent property owners in the proper manner with the proper language and the proper statute. So, commissioners, at this time, if there are no questions, I am going to ask for a motion to continue this hearing to November 7th.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. So, this particular hearing, it is now closed. We are going to now, under the same part of the agenda, it is Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. It is 10:01. We are going to be opening up the next public hearing to amend the application of SUP 2023-002 by Las Animas County, seeking approval to establish a pauper cemetery. A pauper cemetery is utilized as a common grave for the burial of unknown, unclaimed, or indigent individuals. The proposed location is a 5-acre parcel, part of the northwest of Section 24, Township 31, Range 61, west of the 6 p.m. The proposed special permit will not change the zoning, but if granted, would allow the non-conforming use within the zoning, not otherwise allowed without a special use permit. So at this time, I'm going to call Mr. Bob Lucero. And for the purposes of this hearing, Mr. Lucero, any information that is given to you has to be germane to the subject. And at the point in time that the subject is deviated, the chairman of the board will bring that conversation back to the proper subject. So without further ado, would you please raise your right hand?
Do you solemnly affirm under penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please state your name and position.
Robert Lucero, Director of Planning and Land Use.
Good morning. Good
morning. Commissioners, this amended application, the original one came before you several months ago for the pauper cemetery out in the model area. We did have some concern property owners out there as to the location. So Mr. Bornkamp had decided we can try to move it a little bit, so which we did. We sent a public the certified letters out again to three property owners. Two of them are the same ones that had kind of objected to it before. I never heard anything on the new location, along with another property owner. I never heard any objection to that. So this was moved up towards the corner area. And the Planning Commission did recommend approval of it. Mr. Trommeter was one of the Planning Commission members. He would also, the only thing he would recommend it was that he asked if the cemetery was going to be fenced, which I would say yes, and as far as maintaining. And I told him it may be, you know, a minimal amount of maintaining. And he just requested that the board consider doing some maintenance on it from time to year, just out of respect for the deceased. If somebody wants to go out there, I told him I'd relay that to the board.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lucero. One of the questions I have, and thank you for the information they submitted to this board. It is on a corner of the property. How far is the proximity to a county road?
It will be on the corner of County Road 48 and County Road 105.
Thank you. I saw that, and I just wanted that for the record, that there is not going to be a disturbance of creating, in a sense, a new road. Yeah. The noxious weed program that we have within the county, since this is now going to be part of the responsibility of the county, will also be applicable to this piece of property.
Yeah, and it will. And in that area, that's the one, an area we've been fighting the applicant route in that area. There's also some Russian knapweed in that area. So we'll probably need to take a look at it every year, monitor it, note that he is filling. One last question I have, and first of all, thank you for all the work. This is one of those things that dignity on behalf of the county to have to extend those services to individuals that do not have any significant others to care for them on the very last stages, and so that'll be a place of rest for them. So thank you for that. But my question related to that, the fencing, do we have any plan when that's going to happen? Because I would imagine that we have to fence it before we begin the usage of the same.
Yeah, I guess that would be up to Mr. Rogan Graham once the purchase of a property or whatever we have to do. And then I think that the surveyor has already put markers on the corners on that. So just assuming all that, I'm going to probably put the fence up on anything.
A couple of questions for Mr. Dorenkamp. Would you please raise your right hand, Mr. Dorenkamp?
Solemnly affirm under penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
And please state your name.
Bill Dorenkamp, administrator.
Yes, sir. You know, for the purposes, my only question following up with the question I have for Mr. Lucero, the fencing, and also I would, and I don't know what you will think, but and I'll yield to my fellow commissioners, but I think a gate would be also not necessarily to keep it locked, but to keep any stock from going in there, any kind of a damage to the property, so we can preserve the integrity and dignity of that place.
My thoughts are that once the property is transferred, however that transfer takes place, and we will have a gate accessing it off of 105. It's a little mass travel road in 48. And also my thoughts are the minimal disturbance at that location so that noxious weeds, et cetera, shouldn't be too much of a problem. Again, my thoughts are this layout plan on how we want to proceed with the barriers, etc., the road stacks, and supporting the sides, and then the ladders to the end of the disturbance to the road.
I had an opportunity to visit with our county coroner and inform them of this document coming for us today, and so I think he's certainly one of the individuals that's been requesting help on this particular perspective. So thank you so much. Commissioners, any questions for?
I do have one, sir. For Phil, would a four-wire barbed wire fence be sufficient, or would we have to put chain link?
Four-wire is what I was thinking. It saves.
Thank you.
And one last just thought. For the vehicles that will be needing to access that, make sure that we have a turnout for accessibility for the, whether it be the funeral home or the coroner's office, so they have enough access room to enter and exit the cemetery.
Yeah, it's a good one. You have to recess the gate back into the property.
Anyone? Any other questions?
Just a long time coming to see this come to fruition, and thank everyone for the hard work. If you would like to speak, I don't know who signed up on public comment. Can you be sworn in, Pam?
Yes, please come in.
Or do you need to?
Yeah, Mr. Murphy, at this time, the testimony you're about to give will be under sworn testimony. So please raise your right hand.
Solemnly affirm under penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you.
And please state your name.
Thomas Joseph.
Thank you.
Just a question in reading this. It says a pauper cemetery is utilized, maybe it's just the wording, as a common grave for the burial of unknown, unclaimed indigent. So maybe they're referring word-wise, the cemetery is being a common grave, but there's been an issue recently. Each individual is going to have a separate grave. Is the way I'm reading it, it's one mass grave.
No, and the property, thank you so much for that question. The property is 5 acres with basically giving that dignity to have their very own space. So, and of course, as we have done with the county, my understanding would be that the county is going to be digging up those graves in a very, very orderly fashion. But yeah, it's not going to be a massive one, Mr. Murphy. It'll be individual.
So with my experience in this too, I would urge the county at this time to establish through the coroner's office when there are bodies that are unknown, unclaimed, to take DNA ahead of time and keep a record of that somewhere so that they don't have to exhume the body and then do DNA again, which has happened. So you might want to put that procedure in place.
In your expertise, is that not a state statute now?
Not that I know of. It is.
We'll double check to make sure the coroner doesn't require that for this particular case.
I had a case years ago where I buried someone for the coroner's office and put John Smith, and we put him in a place in the county, the grave, put plastic down just in case we brought the grave.
Back up. I was contacted 10, 11 months later by a family saying that it was their relative, and in the end they didn't exhume the body and take it back. But there should be a procedure in place, you know, that we're not putting people on the ground without having to exhume them again to get DNA. Because with the science and everything that we have, it's more than likely that in time we're going to find out who they are. That should probably come from down from the county of saying to the coroner that if we're going to do this, we're going to have procedures in place that you are going to maintain, you know, however that is done, you know, so that people, you know, can find their loved ones, because people are searching. There's a website out there where people, you know, can search for their relatives, and that's happened.
Thank you for being here and for your insight. That's great information.
Yes, thank you.
Commissioners, any other questions for any one of the individuals that has testified in front of us today? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion.
Move for approval of the application SUP 2023-002.
Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes, and once again, as has been said so many times, thank you for all the hard work, Mr. Doran Camp, and all of you that were involved in this process. So at this time, we are now closing this public hearing. And I will entertain a motion to enter into now the regular Board of County Commissioners meeting to finish our agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner Serra.
9B, consideration of County Court Judge Bench Order Number 1, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, before you, for your consideration is RFQ County Court Judge's Bench Replacement Change Order Number 1. This came about the original deadline in our RFQ for our consultant, our architectural firm consultant, was September 15th. It's been a process with working with the state judicial folks to try and come up with what would be a reasonable remodel of that county court judges bench and all the ancillary things, and it's gone on longer than what we had anticipated. Final decisions weren't frankly made for our grant application that Finance Director Coley just submitted until one day or 2 days before the deadline. So I'd ask the board to approve this change.
And thank you. I see there was not going to be any adjustment to the contracted initial price, which is good. We're just extending the deadline.
And he did approach me prior to the evening, owner of property zoning, engaged with. He did approach me prior to the September 15th office about extending.
So that's the design, and who's going to do the build? That's the design and build?
He has offered to assist us with the build, but his contract is with the design.
Do you have any contractors
ready to go for the build?
We have to receive funding first. Frankly, we need to make the state be sure that what their last proposal is what they want to go
with. Okay.
Because it's been a ping pong contest back and forth as to what they want and don't want. And I think you've got it now. So we get that in place first, and then we'll get the design done and the bid documents done. And then we'll bid it and construct it.
I wrote myself a question here just to be a little facetious.
Okay.
Can this be built away and transported back and set in place, or is it going to have to be built on site?
It'll have to be built on site for the most part because we've got to make it ADA compliant. So the bench will have to be built, and then the ramps up to the bench and everything else have to be.
Which then follows to my next question. If that happens to be built on site, are we going to be putting the courts into canceling some of there, or do we have any space to accommodate while the construction is going on?
Mr. Kreiman, the court administrator has some ideas on how to accommodate the county court whenever the remodel is being done. I think there's a big room back at the DA's area that he thought he could use, and also he could use district court. And district court wasn't being used, but I don't want to speak for him, but he's already mulled that over and got some ideas.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any other questions on that? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve consideration of county court judges bench change order number one.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9C, consideration of diesel fuel bid, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you for your consideration is the delivery of diesel fuel to our fairgrounds facility with the following results. 7,200 gallons, excuse me, approximately 7,200 gallons of diesel, either red or clear. World fuel, the dyed is 3.7112. Acorn Petroleum, 3.66256 per gallon. Lahana Valley, 3.65 per gallon. Universal, no bid. Wallace, no bid. I'd ask the board to approve Lahana Valley's bid of $3.65 per gallon for an extended price of $26,280.
Sir, comments, questions? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the diesel fuel bid and award it to Lahana Valley Oil for a total of $26,280.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9D, consideration of unleaded fuel bill, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, we also solicited bids for the delivery of approximately 8,000 gallons of unleaded gasoline to our fairgrounds facility with the following results. World fuel, $2.9368 per gallon. Acorn Petroleum, $2.86045 per gallon. Lahana Valley, $2.92 per gallon. I'd ask the board to approve Acorn Petroleum's bid of $2.86045 per gallon, extended price $22,883.60.
Thank you, sir. Questions? Otherwise, a motion is in order.
Motion to approve the unleaded fuel bid to Acorn Petroleum, extended price $22,883.60.
Second the motion.
Mr. Hass?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. And we come to a very exciting portion of this meeting. presentation of 2024 proposed budgets for fiscal year 24. So first of all, Finance Director Coberly, thank you for all the work that you did. It's putting two proposals together. Thank you for all the work and the information that we have in front of us.
Yes, so.
Microphone.
It's like so, like so much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we have two budgets, and I sent you a little cheat sheet on the budget so you can see. And I can bring my stand up. I'm so sorry. Okay, so you can see I did a little comparison to each budget, just a little cheat sheet for you. You can see our property tax mill levy is 9.357. So just a normal proposed budget, if Proposition HH fails, our property tax will be 4.8 million. If it actually passes, our property tax will be 4.7 million. So it's a difference of 92,000 that the county will actually lose with Proposition HH. Within this budget, we are looking at the HVAC, and we have, we have underfunded, we have DOLA, and we have a match, and also use some PILT to help pay for this $5.7 million project for our HVAC. The clerk and recorder right now, she has two part-time employees. We're going to actually, in the budgets, we're going to take them to two full-time employees for her. Assessor, if Proposition HH fails, we're going to give her one full-time employee. If it actually passes, we're going to give her one full-time and one part-time, but the other part-time will be part of the treasurer. But Jody will actually help with that because I think the assessor's office, when I spoke with her, she does most of the data to where she's the priority of it. But if the treasurer does need her, the employee can work part-time for the treasurer's office. And Jody was okay with that if it passes. The extension, we kept it 20 hours for our 20-hour employee, if that's okay, that we have that in here. District attorney has requested $1.1 million for his budget. The health department has an increase of to $384,000. She's asking for an increase for the health department. That's in both budgets. We have many projects that we're looking at for 2024. The airport, you know, we have FAA that we're going to do the apron and the taxiway. We have that. We have to do something with our septic tank, the tile floor, and gutters. Those are projects we want to look at the airport. Capital expenditure, what we're looking at is the judge's bench, our elevator. We need to improve, you know, upgrade our elevator. We'd like to get sliding doors for the front of the building. The courtyard, we have to do some improvements for ADA compliance. The scenic highway of legends, we did actually budget for that. Mm-hmm. The zero scaping for the courthouse, that's included in capital expenditure. Second floor, you know, we'd like to maybe each year, maybe work on one or two offices on improving the carpet, painting, and improving each office. So right now, I think we actually have it in the for one or two offices this year to improve that. And then capital expenditure will transfer the FAA money to cover the airport. That's what's included in this. PILT, since we received the additional funds, we are going to transfer money from PILT to general fund to help cover the HVAC. Transfer to capital expenditure for the courthouse projects. Transfer to the airport for the septic tank, the tile, and the gutters for those projects. And then we're going to transfer $1 million to Warden Bridge like we normally do to help him with his roads and any improvements he's doing. So did I miss anything that you reviewed in each of these budgets that you wanted to discuss? And I can.
I didn't see, by me, Chairman, the treasurer's office needing any additional staffing at this point with the changes coming. If it passes, has that been discussed?
When she came before us before budget, she asked for one or two employees. But after speaking to Jody did all of the data. But I didn't know. Like I said, that's why I gave Jody.
So it'd be the part-time. Okay.
The part-time, just in case. I'm saying not because of HH, but because I think the treasurer was asking for
another employee. I thought Jody can be in charge of the employee. If actually the employee doesn't have, the employee can go over to the treasurer's and help out during the treasurer's busy time. So I thought that was the best. If you think there was another option.
As long as our elected officials were okay with that. I mean, we really can't afford a full FTE.
Right.
Especially with the decline of $97,000. So.
Right.
Plus whatever decline on property taxes.
I can talk with both elected officials and, you know, see, but she did request one, the treasurer did request one or two employees.
Well, I think we have time to, before we finalize our budgets till December, mm-hmm. and we'll see what the election brings us, and at that time we can readdress
this. This was
it,
just a suggestion for proposed. Yep. Just trying to put it out a little bit, because we still need to negotiate with the union, with their requests on everything, and then we also need to see what the final result is to see where we're going to go with that.
The National Association of Counties worked really hard on the one-time built abatement, and I am kind of hearing a little bit of a chatter that may could happen again in 2024. You recall we received one extra additional. Am I correct reading that?
Tell me again.
The one payment that we received from PILT.
Oh yes, so we received two additional payments for PILT. For 2023 and 2022 and 2023, we received $986,000 each year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And what I'm hearing at the national level, that perhaps that could be. Have you heard anything that could be?
No, I've heard nothing about that. Okay. No, nothing. But that'd be wonderful if they want to give us another $900,000. We will take it.
Very good.
Yeah.
One last question, and this doesn't matter with HH passing or not, is. Our emergency management office, have we had some discussion with that office over the past year?
I apologize for missing that piece. We did, in within both of these budgets, we did take into 30 hours for that position. We did add, same. That was one. I'm sorry about that, for getting that on the notes.
And if I could chime in, during our discussions with the emergency manager, we thought once everything's in place, you could get everything done in 30 hours, and that's worth the 30, because we did kick around the idea of going up to 40, but he thought 30 at this point would suffice once he gets things going.
Yes.
With the hazards and the fires we've had, I think it's crucial that we have that office staffed a little more hours. So thank you for doing that.
He did also ask for just for a cash match, because I think he's trying to look for grants. And so I did budget $10,000 for a cash match if we can come across a grant. So that is also included in both budgets right now.
Great.
Okay. And if you can see the differences, if you look at fund balance in one, our fund balance, we're using more on if it actually passes, because we have to use fund balance to cover that $92,000 that we're missing if it passes.
One of the questions, how many years have we depreciated the airport?
We depreciate it every single year.
Right. $320,000, that becomes a real liability.
Becomes a liability, yes. And it's probably a little bit more, but that's just what I throw in there. It depends on what we purchased that year. But so, like, then any kind of improvement, that becomes improvement to the airport. Mm-hmm. So it might increase, but right now that's what the airport has, is assets.
And on a side note, we do have an RFQ out for an FBO operator out at the airport. I think it's due November 3rd, I believe, something like that. So we'll see if we get anybody that might be interested in taking over, managing, for lack of a better way, therefore, and we need to get back and continue to entertain the possibility of an industrial park, a few vendors. If we had the capacity to do that, we can begin to bring a little bit of revenue, because, you know, even the depreciation expense is a real expense for the county. I mean, we're basically throwing good money after mm-hmm. nothing.
Right. It has to be budgeted for.
Yeah. One last question, if I may, for Ms. Coberly. I know there's still negotiations working with the union and salaries and stuff. Has that been addressed across the board, county increases for inflation at this time? Have we even considered that?
I'm working on a spreadsheet to present to commissioners so you can see what we can afford on budget. So I'll have that done here soon to actually send it, and then we can set up a meeting with negotiations once I have that.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
And if I may, on the noxious weed program under the building inspector, do we have adequate chemicals? I don't see a...
That's in Roden Bridge, because I think Roden Bridge handles the noxious weed now.
Statutory, and I can't remember what statute it is, but statutory, the Roden Bridge Department of Public Works Department, I think it sounds actually stated in statute, is required to have X amount of dollars for a noxious weed program. And we've actually increased that from 15 to 20. We're asking to go to 20 in 2024 to help offset some of the spraying and also do some more contracted spraying like we did in the past.
That was going to be my other question. Thank you.
So we just holding pattern and wait to see what the ballot brings us.
Correct. Yeah, because I'm sure this budget will change.
Thank you.
The final figures and we know exactly, it will change. And once we negotiate.
Thank you for all the work, Director Coverly. And I think
you can see where DHS was still awarded the two mills for both budgets. Just to kind of, because I know DHS, you know.
That's a great footnote.
Okay, just to tell you that.
We saw that.
Do we need a motion to approve the proposed budgets?
It's just a presentation.
Thank you.
As long as I present it before the 15th.
Let's go to 9F, consideration of San Carlos letter of support, Mr. Thorenkamp.
Commission, before you for your consideration is your approval of the San Carlos letter of support. This is for the San Carlos Ranger District's non-motorized trail crew 2023 grant application.
Any questions on that letter, commissioners?
No, I have none.
Now entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the San Carlos letter of support.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Consideration of liquor license renewal for Romero's Liquor Store. So, Council.
Commissioners, I've reviewed the application. It's complete.
Any questions or comments from our clerk and recorder's office? Complete application? All the paperwork completed as well? Thank you so much.
I have a comment, Chairman.
Please.
Mr. Romero, thank you for waiting so patiently with us today and for being here with us. And I'd just like to thank you for being all these years in business in Los Animas County and supporting our tax revenues and everything else that you and your family have done. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. If we have no other questions, I will entertain a motion for this item.
Move for approval of liquor license renewal for Romero's Liquors.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez? Yes. Thank you, Yolanda. Great to see you. 9H, consideration of SCED broadband letter of support. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you, for your consideration, is a letter of support for SCED's broadband grant application. And also, they also work hand in hand with CECOM to try and get some high speed internet west of I-25.
Any questions, commissioners, on that letter of support? If no questions, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the SCED broadband letter of support.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Section 10, consideration of bills and payroll for the second half of September 2023. Director Coverly.
Payroll as of September 30th, 2023, $201,232.73. I have a gnat. I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to get to it. Do I have any questions on payroll?
I like that stamp of approval.
But I haven't killed it.
I just wonder how loud the tapping does on the microphones for Sean and those online.
Any questions on payroll?
No questions.
No questions. Invoices paid on September 20th, 2023, $194,630.04. Within this packet, we paid Armstrong for grant 15. That was last year's grant. And then the airport, we paid a portion of grant 16. That's beginning bidding on the new grant 16. Let's see. $23,500 for used equipment for Roden Bridge that he purchased through the state of Colorado. And then let's see, Fisher's Peak grant, $10,686. I'm pretty sure I have one more invoice coming from THK, and then that should finalize the grant, the Fisher's Peak grant study.
Mr. Dorenkamp, you went shopping in Denver. You brought some equipment.
We did, sir. It was a DIA auction. Well, CDOT Aeronautics.
We've already received the $16,000 for it.
Good.
Good job.
It was a cash match. They paid a portion of it.
Good job.
Any questions, additional questions for Director Coberly? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
Move for approval of bills and payroll for the second half of September 2023.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hatch?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes, and that brings us to Section 11, Executive Session. The board will meet under Executive Session. CRS 24-6424B, conferring with the county attorney for the purposes of receiving legal advice, specific legal questions, A, investments, and B, litigation. Do I have a motion to go into executive session with small recess?
So moved. Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.